listening to the Cyber and Crime Files. I'm your host, Michelle Lamb. In honor of our one-year anniversary, I'll be giving you a look into some of the most interesting vulnerabilities and happenings in the world of cybersecurity, starting with our next episode on file, Cyber Attackers Gone Wild. Imagine listening to music on your run in the park, and all of a sudden the music stops. You can't hear anything, you can't get the music to play again. You think you may have forgotten to charge your wireless earbuds, but in fact, there may be something far more sinister causing your device to not work properly. The Blacktooth vulnerabilities came on the radar back in August after being discovered by the asset research group at the Singapore University of Technology and Design. Blacktooth is a new family of security vulnerabilities found in commercial Bluetooth plastic stacks for various system-on-chips. Blacktooth uses the Bluetooth plastic BR-EDR protocol, and it affects millions of Bluetooth-enabled devices that are manufactured by some pretty well-known companies like Texas Instruments, Silicon Labs, and Intel. This is a real concern for essentially everyone, corporations, the U.S. healthcare industry, because Bluetooth devices are used in various essential roles, and tampering with these devices could result in adverse consequences. Researchers say that the risk associated with Blacktooth's set of security flaws range from denial of service attacks by crashing the device firmware, or a deadlock condition where Bluetooth communication is no longer possible to arbitrary code. Now, according to researchers, to exploit the vulnerability, the hacker will need an ESP32 development kit, a custom leak manager protocol LMP firmware, and a computer to run the proof of concept POC tool. The vulnerabilities in the Blacktooth collection target the LMP and baseband layers. Currently, they've been assigned 20 identifiers and refer to the following 16 issues or vulnerabilities. Now, I know it might sound like a tedious list, but I'm just sharing this with you just in case it's helpful. The first one, feature pages execution. Next, truncated SEO link request, duplicated IOCAP, feature response flooding, LMP auto rate overflow, LMP 2-DH1 overflow, LMP DM1 overflow, truncated LMP accepted, and valid setup complete, host on flooding, same host connection, AU RAN flooding, invalid max slot type, max slot length overflow, invalid timing accuracy, and paging scan deadlock. ESP32 is a chip developed by Espressif Systems, known for being small but powerful. Its low power consumption and low cost is why it's used in a number of IoT applications, including industrial equipment and medical devices. Based on the broad use of Bluetooth plastic, researchers say that it's likely some medical devices could be impacted by these vulnerabilities. ESP32 is used in healthcare monitoring systems like a heartbeat sensor and a body temperature sensor, just to name a few. When Intel and Qualcomm's WCN3990 SoC devices running on the AX200 SoC send a malformed packet, it triggers a denial of service response. The following list of products impacted by Blacktooth includes laptops and desktops from Dell, Optiplex, Alienware, Microsoft Surface devices, Go2, Pro 7, Book 3, and a variety of smartphones. According to researchers, if any of the 16 vulnerabilities were successfully exploited, it would provide a remote threat actor or hacker the ability to launch multiple attacks, including denial of service, arbitrary code execution, deadlocking, and firmware crashes on vulnerable devices. An attack of this nature against any organization could lead to various unfavorable outcomes. It's worth mentioning that Singapore's Health Sciences Authority, HSA, published an advisory warning their stakeholders about BRAC2th and how it can impact medical devices that utilize certain Bluetooth Link Manager protocols. The set of issues caused by a BRAC2th attack impacts a wide variety of devices ranging from consumer electronics to industrial equipment. Researchers believe that BRAC2th has impacted billions of devices worldwide. They also found that some devices displayed anomalous behavior that deviates from the Bluetooth 4 specifications. In addition to this, researchers found that more than 1,400 product listings are affected by BRAC2th. Some of those devices are smartphones and laptop and desktop systems, as stated before, audio devices, speakers and headphones, home entertainment systems. The list just goes on. So to help mitigate or combat the BRAC2 threat, it's recommended that you do an audit of the devices or components in use to help stakeholders that may be uncertain about the extent of Bluetooth usage and its associated devices. A risk assessment should be conducted to efficiently assess the risk to users or day-to-day operations. In addition to this, users and administrators should work with any identified affected manufacturers to receive validated patches and coordinate with vendors to get a timeline for vulnerabilities that do not have a patch. It's also recommended for end users to check if their Bluetooth products are currently being used. If there is not a patch to apply immediately, or the patch is in progress, or if the vendor is still investigating, then it's recommended that you monitor the device for any anomalous behavior. If the device is unable to be reached, then there could be an issue. And remember, the BRAC2th vulnerability is based on implementations of the Bluetooth Classic protocol. So in order for the threat actor or hacker to carry out or execute this attack, the Bluetooth must be turned on and that attacker must be in radio range of the target. If you'd like more information on this, the Asset Group research team has put up a request form, and it'll be online until October 31st. If you forget, just think it's available until Halloween if you celebrate, for Bluetooth semiconductor module OEM vendors, as well as researchers to fill out to receive a link to the BRAC2th POC tool and instructions for running the exploits. That website is https://poc.brac2th.com, and that's BRAKTOOTH.com. Moving on to our next topic on file. Many systems are facing billions of attacks each month while hackers are playing guess the password. As a matter of fact, researchers say that computer networks are being bombarded with billions of password guessing attacks as cyber criminals try to exploit the growth in RDP, which is Remote Desktop Protocol, and other cloud services in corporate environments. ESET researchers say that they detected about 55 billion, that's right, billion with the B, new attempts at brute force attacks between May and August in 2021 alone. Now that's more than double the 27 billion attacks detected between January and April, just to give you an idea of the huge leap in numbers. In case you're wondering, why is this important? Well, imagine someone guessing your password. If they were to be successful in their attempt, then they would be able to access anything that you have in your system. So imagine if threat actor is able to get into a computer network or a company's computer network. These computer networks are being aggressively attacked or bombarded with billions of password guessing attacks because these cyber criminals or threat actors are trying to exploit the growth in the Remote Desktop Protocol, or RDP, and other cloud services and corporate environments. More and more people are moving to the cloud, and these criminals are like, hey, if we can just keep pushing, keep doing these brute force attacks and we can get in, then in their mind, they struck gold. I mean, data is valuable. And so these attacks have just more than doubled recently because their goal is to get in and get the data. Researchers say that if a hacker or threat actor is able to guess the password of an organization or cloud-based service, then they'll get an easy route into networks and an avenue that they can use to launch additional attacks, including delivering ransomware or other malware. And then once they're inside of that network, they'll definitely just take whatever data they can and leverage that. They'll attempt to use that access to gain additional permissions and continue to manipulate or work that system in their favor, performing actions like turning off security services so they can move around the system undetected and do more damage. The number of people working from home has increased significantly since the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, one of the most popular targets for brute force password guessing attacks are RDP services. That's right, the rise in remote working has led to an increase in people needing to use remote desktop services. That's why it's imperative for people working from home to practice good security measures. That's why having a strong password and multi-factor authentication is key, because with the threat actors or hackers doing lots of RDP attacks, if they can guess your password, then they can get in. If they are able to guess your password, but you have 2FA or multi-factor authentication, then you'll receive a notification that someone is trying to get in the system. It's not you. And then you can reach out to the IT service or properly mitigate that threat by denying that threat actor or hacker access to your system. Cyber criminals are not just going after remote desktop protocol services. According to ZDNet, they're also going after public-facing SQL and SMB services. These services will often be secured with default passwords that attackers can take advantage of. A weak or simple password is a hacker's dream. Experts recommend that instead of using a simple one-word password, that users use three memorable words as their password. And in addition to that, add multi-factor authentication. The good thing about having multi-factor authentication is even if the hacker or threat actor guesses your password, then the multi-factor authentication provides an extra layer of security to prevent them from accessing your network. Moving on to our next topic on file, Medusa Android malware, also known as Tanglebot, is a new malware that's banking on the COVID-19 pandemic to trick victims or its targets into downloading malicious code and infecting their own mobile devices. According to researchers, this malware campaign is impacting Android devices and so far has only been found in North America, specifically here in the US and Canada. And it's basically preying on people's desire to know more or know the latest in regard to COVID-19. How the attack works is that the threat actor or hacker sends the victim a message about a third appointment for a COVID vaccine or an update in regard to COVID-19. And then once the victim or target clicks on that malicious link, then they're sent to a website that gives them a message saying, hey, your Adobe Flash player is out of date and you need to update it. And then once the target clicks on that dialog box, then they are instructed or they will download malware onto their mobile device. Threat actors or hackers are then able to install a wide variety of device observation capabilities. They're able to essentially control your phone. They can obtain text messages, stream audio, essentially spy on you. One of the things that really makes this problematic is that malicious threat actors will have the ability to detect installed apps, interact with the apps and inject overlay screens onto their target's mobile devices. Once the TangleBot malware has infected a target's device, it can do a wide variety of things, ranging from accessing the victim's camera to their call log and GPS. And what makes this scary is that this unknown threat actor can essentially know where their target or victim is at any time. Cybersecurity researchers, they believe that hackers or threat actors have been using TangleBot for at least a few weeks, and since this is a fairly new malware, the impact can be huge. Those warning messages, which are preventative measures, appear to be the only option available to protect Android mobile device users from infection from TangleBot. Experts recommend that all users be mindful of the links that they click on, especially when using their work devices, to prevent TangleBot from infecting their mobile devices and spreading across networks. Again, if you do not recognize a link, if the source is unknown, simply do not click on it. Thank you for stopping by, and be sure to follow the show on social media. The Twitter handle is CyberCrimeFiles, and on Instagram and Facebook, it is CyberCrimeFiles. If you forget, you can just click the logos on the website, and it will take you directly there. In honor of our one-year anniversary, I would like to send a special thank you to Crystal, Vanda, Colleen, Alexios, and my family, along with my very first subscribers and the countless others who joined along the way. Also, thank you to Harrison for the amazing soundtrack for this show. And as always, thank you for listening to the Cyber and Crime Files. Until next time, have a good one.